We're definitely in our summer slowdown, and I hesitate to do or say too much when so many people aren't here. But then again, whoever's here is here. So that's just kind of the way it is. Such a great book, this book 3 of Patanjali. When I was thinking about class tonight, and ordinarily I would have taken just even this group of 4 sutras, but I thought, no, let's just do this one, which is the 5th. So it's book 3, sutra 5. Once the perfect discipline of consciousness is mastered, wisdom dawns. Which, at its just sort of literal level, it seems right. Yeah, whatever. Once the perfect discipline of consciousness is mastered, wisdom dawns. And of course, that perfect discipline is the final 3 limbs. We know this. Concentration, meditation, which I love. Chip Hartrev's translation of meditation is absorption. I think it's brilliant. And samadhi, integration. And those 3, concentration, absorption, and integration, it's so true. When those 3 are perfectly aligned, there's no space for anything but wisdom. Because in that perfect alignment, we are in present moment. In that perfect alignment, there's no story. There's only that which cannot be named. And we call it wisdom. It's so much more that experience of absoluteness. Yeah. Absolute, pristine, flowing, integrative integration, luminous integration. But this all got me thinking about wisdom, and wisdom in the East and wisdom in the West, and how in the East we think of wisdom as an internal grace that rises up when the internal conditions are conducive to that rising up. But thinking in the West, it's not like that. In the West, wisdom is something that we kind of steal. You know what I mean? You know, like at the Garden of Eden? You have to steal it. Or you have to trick to get it. You know, like you eat the apple, you break the rules. It's fascinating. I couldn't think of other stories, but I know there are many where you break the rule and you get the wisdom. I think of the Fisher King. Well, exactly. So that's exactly, or you break. But that's, so that got me thinking that actually it is the same. Because in order to achieve that perfect alignment of concentration, absorption, and integration, the mind really does have to break open. Yeah? Because if the mind is still stuck in the citta vritti, it's still stuck in story, it's still under the influence of the kleshas, forget about it. There's never going to be integration. There's never going to be that experience of wisdom. It's a funny thing, that seeming duality between East and West. But somehow, it seems like they all do resolve. So, thinking about wisdom, I went on a Lakshmi kick. And I want to read to you this is just one verse from this very esoteric text, the Lakshmi Tantra, which I think you gave me this text, I think. I think this is even the Kora. Yes. 1999. I go back a long way. So, for those of you who were not old timers, which a lot of people, well, we have old timers and new timers here. The goddess Lakshmi is a very complex constellation of divine consciousness. And in this particular tantra, this is visualizing Lakshmi as what we might call the absolute or ultimate reality. And this is, and one of the aspects of this constellation of Lakshmi is wisdom. I thought these verses were so beautiful. I am recognized by the wise as the bliss and tranquility inherent in each state of being. I am recognized by the wise as the bliss and tranquility inherent in each state of being. Yeah. Though that is my true nature, the individual soul doesn't always experience me spontaneously. However, after receiving a mere particle of my anugraha shakti, of my grace, the individual soul discovers me instantaneously. And that's really the same thing that Patanjali is saying. Right? This is a whole different lineage of trying to capture divine consciousness in ideas. But it's very much the same thing. I am recognized by the wise as the bliss and tranquility inherent in each state of being. And we're not going to experience bliss and tranquility until we've achieved that even-minded integration that Patanjali is articulating. Though that is my true nature, and obviously that is our true nature, we don't recognize it, we don't see it, because we are fettered by the eye maker, right, the story maker, colluding with our friends the kleshas. However, after receiving a mere particle of my anugraha shakti, which is grace, which is that, you know, you touch the inner experience of the self, you touch that inner experience of your true nature, and you never be the same again. You know, maybe we don't hold samadhi, maybe we don't remember to practice samadhi, like breathing. But once we taste it, that hunger is always there. That hunger is awakened. And we know it in our body. We can remember the experience of absolute integration, which we can call any name we want, but ultimately we want to have the experience. After propitiating me by various means, never mind about that, we'll just say after experiencing me through the process, the fire of meditation, the individual soul washes away all the kleshas and blows away the dust of impressions. And through meditation fuses with true knowledge and attains me, who am Lakshmi, and whose nature is supreme bliss. So it's a very different way of presenting the very same teaching. And Patanjali makes it a lot more clear, because he's a practical mystic. But there it is. So reading this, I was inspired that we would chant the Lakshmi mantra that we chanted tonight, which I've always thought, I was telling Emma before, I've always thought that this mantra is the Tarkabish mantra, but it's actually not. It's called the Lakshmi Murti mantra. It's a mantra that contains the entire sonic form of this divine Lakshmi force. And the Tarkabish is one part of the entire mantra. So, from here, I went to Yaneshwar. Because again, I thought, well, let me go to the Bhagavad Gita. But I don't have the Bhagavad Gita here, it's in New York, so I got the next best thing, which is Yaneshwari. And I thought, this is very helpful. What is action? What is inaction? Thus even the wise are confused in this manner. This action I shall explain to you, having known which you shall be released from evil, otherwise known as ignorance, right? I mean, in this text, evil is simply a really lousy word for separation from the knowledge of our true nature. One must know the nature of action, the nature of wrong action, and also the nature of inaction. The way of action is profound. And then this is such a famous notion from the Bhagavad Gita. He who perceives inaction in action, and action in inaction, is wise among men and women. He is a yogi and performs all actions. You know, it's such a pristine and sublime teaching. If we can practice that, we're breathing samadhi, right? If we're absolutely practicing inaction in action, and action in inaction, then we're in that stillness of presence. We're in that presence of the present moment. And action is inaction, and inaction is inaction. It's a kind of a riddle, it's a kind of a paradox, but I think you get it. And again, only the wise can even begin to penetrate the deeper meaning of what this teaching is saying. You know? But to move without moving, right? To act without attachment to the fruit of the action, and to act in stillness. So there is no impressions, you know, no samskaras. Patanjali talks about this so much. We keep creating more karma for ourselves when we act with action, right? The secret is to act with inaction. Give up doership. You know, these are the basic tenets of yoga. And again, Patanjali goes over this much more carefully in the earlier books than he does in book three. Book three is just soaring. But that that mind that has washed itself clean in the fire of practice really can be this wisdom state. And in that wisdom state, action is inaction. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful concept. More than concept, experience. So I thought Lala Maleshwari, the poet saints say it the best. She writes, I was passionate, she actually sings, I was passionate, filled with longing. So that's still in that dual state, right? I was passionate, filled with longing. That's action, action. I was passionate, filled with longing. I searched far and wide. But the day that the truthful one found me, I was at home. To me, this so embodies that sutra. Right? It's so beautiful. I was passionate, filled with longing. I searched far and wide. But the day that the truthful one found me, I was at home. The day that wisdom just roared up from inside and took me over, I was at home. I was passionate, filled with longing. I searched far and wide. But the day that the truthful one found me, I was at home. The soul, like the moon, is new and always new again. That can only happen when the action is inaction, right? The soul, like the moon, is new and always new again, and I have seen the ocean continuously creating. Since I scoured my mind and my body, I too, Lala, am new, each moment new. My teacher told me one thing, live in the soul. When that was so, I began to go naked and dance. Yeah. That naked reality, you know, is a pristine awareness. The soul, like the moon, is new and always new again. And I have seen the ocean continuously creating. Since I scoured my mind and my body, I too, Lala, am new, each moment new. My teacher told me one thing, live in the soul. Live in the soul. When that was so, I began to go naked and dance. She really got it. She really got it. And then the Ashtavakra Gita also has some very potent teachings on wisdom. I'm going to leave off the one that's more complex and give a simpler one here. The true seeker, the wise man knows the self, and he plays the game of life. The wise man knows the self, and he plays the game of life. But the fool lives in the world like a beast of burden. Right? That's the action, as opposed to inaction. The true seeker feels no elation, even in that exalted state. Right? The true seeker feels no elation, even in that exalted state, which Indra and all the gods unhappily long for. He understands the nature of things. His heart is not smudged by right or wrong. The sky is not smudged by smoke. He is pure of heart. He knows the whole world is only the self. So who can stop him from doing as he wishes? Of the four kinds of being, from Brahma to a blade of grass, only the wise man is strong enough to give up desire and aversion. How rare he is. Knowing he is the self, he acts accordingly and is never fearful. For he knows he is the self, one without two, the Lord of all creation. This is the state of embodied wisdom. And as we've been saying week after week, it's right here, right now, waiting delightedly to break open inside of us if we just remember to come back into the heart of our being. So one more and then we'll chant. I always think Mary Oliver brings it into the absolute present moment of the 21st century. I am thinking, or trying to think, about all the imponderables for which we have no answers, yet endless interest all the range of our lives. I am thinking, or trying to think, about all the imponderables for which we have no answers, yet endless interest all the range of our lives. And it's good for the head, no doubt, to undertake such meditation. Mystery, after all, is God's other name and deserves our considerations, surely. But excuse me now, please, it's morning, heavenly bright, and my irrepressible heart begs me to hurry on into the next exquisite moment. I am thinking, or trying to think, about all the imponderables for which we have no answers, yet endless interest all the range of our lives. And it's good for the head, no doubt, to undertake such meditation. Mystery, after all, is God's other name and deserves our considerations, surely. But excuse me now, please, it's morning, heavenly bright, and my irrepressible heart begs me to hurry on into the next exquisite moment. So let us hurry on into the next exquisite moment, and let's chant the mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, and then we'll glide into meditation. I hope that you are all enjoying this process, practice of working a bit harder on concentration and working a bit harder with the mantra as an object of concentration rather than, as I said in the email, a vehicle. Or I said that somewhere, maybe I said it on the blog. You know, for so many years we've used the mantra really as a vehicle into the experience of the self, as a sonic form of that self that we can ride and merge into. And ultimately, I'm all for that. I'm a simple woman, and I like the easy path. But I do think it's very good for the mind to practice concentration. It's very good for the mind to work at focus, work at turning within. Work at training those citta vrittis to dissolve down into the stuff that we're made of and that is, as we all know, contained in the vibrations of this mantra. So we'll chant for a bit and then we'll glide into meditation and then we'll see where we are.